to Money Matters with certified financial planner Dave Pezzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Pezzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Pezzo.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo. Every week I go in and visit with Kevin Miller and have an absolute blast. We're going to go ahead and replay that. It's about 30 minutes every Monday. We'd like to hear your feedback. If you enjoy it, if not, let us know. And I'll be talking to you live in about 30 minutes.
Oh, don't you love those nebulous questions so early in the morning? Kevin Miller, Dave Pezzo with us, 580KIDO. Good to have you with us.
It's good to see you, Kevin.
It's not going to be a good one for you today.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Got a lot of issues.
Wow.
Been saving these up. First and foremost, this AT&T Time Warner merger.
Okay.
Your thoughts.
May not go through is first thought. I think this is obviously AT&T and, well, all of them are searching for content, delivery to compete. And this is big, and maybe they'll let it go through, but it's an awfully big price tag. And I also, Kevin, obviously with all of these things, they are job destroyers. And so we have, there's other reasons maybe the FTC will not approve this. But competition's one of them, and this would be a pretty big giant out there for having both content and delivery.
Well, we take a look at Time Warner. And AOL never really worked out. However, AT&T just bought DirecTV.
Yes.
And as you and I have talked about, and you've educated us over the years here at 580KIDO, when these mergers happen to help the lenders, there are cutbacks that happen. The buyer has to acquiesce and say, look, we're going to cut personnel. We're going to make the lenders happy.
Yep.
We're seeing that with AT&T's purchase of DirecTV. We'll probably see that if this deal goes through. I mean, how can we rectify this? And you alluded to it earlier, it's a job destroyer.
Yeah. Always are.
But it's part of the great corporations of America, to quote you.
I know. And it has to happen to a degree. There's no question that these companies have to merge. They have to get bigger. They can't compete standalone. It's too fractured an industry, and so they will be continuing to gather. But with all mergers, whether it's it's not necessarily the investment bankers are coming and saying, you will fire all these people. But when you have overlap, especially at the management level, you don't need two chiefs. One works fine. And so you're going to be getting in, sifting through a pretty sizable number of people in order to reduce overhead, which, of course, helps justify the numbers. In other words, wow, we're going to pay $80 billion for this. We better justify why. And so, Kevin, it is, but they always find cuts to make, and they are job destroyers. There's no question.
Right, and we take a look at this, $85.4 billion. So back to my, a lot of friends here, Pat from Middleton, most notably calls me my liberal Kevin-isms, if you will. Back to my populist upbringing here, where is the Sherman Antitrust Act here with these corporations that continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger? Do they really serve the consumer?
Yeah, the answer is they do, but I think that's what this is really about, is making sure that that you don't have such dominance that you can set price or you can set availability of any particular product. So, again, if in the eyes of the regulators, this still has plenty of competition, I would guess that the answer is it does. But it still is pushing on the boundaries of really creating a very large an enterprise that is a little bit anti-competitive. But I guess it's fair to say, Kevin, that so far I think in most industries, when we go back to the old trust buster days, that was a bit different. That was obviously everything was Standard Oil, for example, was everything.
And Ma Bell
had everything, exactly. So all those things now have been fractured into tiny bits and pieces, even though they are big companies. And Kevin, I appreciate, you and I both come from the hills of, the Appalachians, right?
Right.
So I do understand what you're saying and the work ethic, the populism, if you will. We have to be careful to have this kind of anti-business mantra, if you will. We have to be careful of that because it's business that's going to save our tails. And if we don't allow business to be competitive globally from taxes and from regulation, and we don't allow them to do that, then there will be no growth and no jobs. It's difficult circumstance. And I know you're not proclaiming, let's shut it all down and we need more regulation. But my point is we have to be careful with letting business be business. And business being business and being productive does, in fact, destroy jobs with technology or mergers.
Dave Pezzo with us here, Kevin Miller at 580KIDO, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Pezzo on Facebook. However, you take a look at monopolies are not good, and you look at AT&T that they'll own the cellular, they'll own the phone, they own DirecTV, So they could set prices.
They only to the degree that you don't have any other options, and we do. You've got cable,
nationally here.
Yeah.
I mean, Time Warner is the biggest cable provider.
They are.
Some places, that's all you get is Time Warner. Okay, I'm going to go to DirecTV. That's nice that we own DirecTV now. I'm going to go streaming. Well, that's okay. We own AT&T. I just question this. And here's another issue. I know you're not a fan of the UFC, but you're getting into it.
I from a business perspective, I'm a huge fan. I'm amazed at what they've done.
You know, Money Matters could be a cage fight every Saturday for what we're talking about, right? With you and the callers. Even the UFC, when they were purchased by Creative Arts Agency for a record $4 billion, even though they were profitable, 20 to 30% layoffs.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is.
A profitable company.
I know. It is. It's very difficult. Whenever they come in, there's a takeover, there's new management, they take a fresh look at things, jobs go away. We see that periodically, even though where there's not a merger, right? We had layoffs at Micron not long ago. And there's periodically all companies are as they become more productive.
Now, I have another issue for you. I've come loaded for bear today.
You are, boy, I'll tell you.
Yes, I couldn't wait when this happened because actually this is an issue, like a lot of them, that hit close to home. Samsung. Now, we talked earlier about the phone and everything else, right?
Right.
Their phone's doing. Well, Samsung has another issue. And this was reported by the Washington Post and everything else. They have an exploding washing machine.
Wow.
Have you heard about this?
No, I've not heard about this.
It hasn't been reported locally. And we will go right to where I got it from. We'll go to CBS Boston here. Also, it was in the Washington Post. And we'll have something on 580KIDO.com coming up because I've had to deal with this exploding washing machine. And Samsung has discontinued the sale of its fire-prone Galaxy Note 7 smartphones. But it's not the only device with safety issues. The company is also dealing with reports that some of its washing machines have exploded during use. Andrea Garner of Weymouth recently learned her washing machine is among those at risk of breaking apart mid-wash, and she wants the company to find a solution fast. Apparently, a federal class action lawsuit claims that Samsung has known about the issue for years.
Wow.
And apparently, it's the Samsung model something or other. Customers have completed hundreds of millions of loans without incident since 2011. However, Samsung has said that if you're doing bedding, put it on delicate so you won't your washing machine won't explode allegedly. But this is another big slap in the face for Samsung that this debacle continues.
Absolutely. Two safety issues like that, and I'm not sure you could call it a safety issue. It sounds more like a mess issue, right? If your washing machine falls apart and floods your joint, but it's a big deal, Kevin. You're right. It's another branding problem for Samsung. And in theory, they're going to handle this one a lot better, I would think. They certainly blew the last go around. Maybe they'll just simply recall all of them and go give everybody a free model, and this problem will go away. But it does say Samsung is the high quality how. That's not a good thing to have, a 1-2 punch here.
Well, and this happened in Plano, Texas. Apparently, the top-loading washing machines made between 2011 and April 2016. The Plano residents were watching television, running a load, when they heard a blast from the laundry room. And there it was. So What do you do about this? Do you recall all of these things? I mean, how do you make it right? Obviously, Samsung is so big, and you're thinking, gosh, they're perfect. But they've got a phone that allegedly caught on fire, and now you've got...
No, Kevin, it's not alleged. It does.
Well, okay. Then you have a washing machine, according to published reports, blows up.
Yeah. It's not good. No, this is a big branding problem for them. It really is. And it really puts them back in multiple ways. But we were saying, okay, our phone was bad, but go to this model, go to that model. And then pretty soon you're saying, why would I trust the next model? Because now you've got a washing machine problem over here. So is it cultural? Is it a bigger issue than one simple thing? And this is something that companies have to deal with all the time. You and I talked about this last time a couple times ago when the phone was catching fire, and how you can see on one hand, Johnson & Johnson immediately did a recall. They weren't trying to say it was just contained in one area. It was, as it turned out, just one nut job. But still, they didn't know. So they recalled everything. And now Tylenol, nobody thinks about it. We all take Tylenol.
Old school. You're going to the Tylenol.
I know. Yeah. But you talk about a recall that was massive, that was company devastating, and they dealt with it beautifully and had a billion-dollar brand, Kevin, that everybody thought, maybe even at Johnson & Johnson, they may never be able to resurrect this brand again. And they did, because they were quick and they dealt with it. They changed and made all the safety caps and things like that we all get frustrated with. But they came up with a solution and then came back with it. Samsung has, been dealing with this very poorly and did not do an immediate recall. And they said they'd fix it, and then they finally had to, because basically the government said, you're not going to sell these anymore.
Well, we're going to see how that plays out. Dave Petzo with us, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO, talking about your money. Locally, what's going on?
Locally, Micron's doing better, Kevin. They really are. I'm going to be this week talking with Micron spokesperson so that we can get a better handle on what's going on in the industry price-wise, things like that. So you'll hear that upcoming in one of the weekends coming up. But it is I think it's great news that the prices are going higher, and Micron seems to be performing better, meaning their costs are coming down. And so they have been cash flow positive even through this downturn. We'll see if they can turn this into positive earnings.
Our great friend Dave Petzo with us, Kevin Miller here. If you have a question about your money, 580-KIDO. You're listening to Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
580-KIDO, our friend Dave Petzo with us, Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, Petzo on Facebook, Petzo on Twitter. Take a look at mergers and acquisitions. We've got TD Ameritrade looking at merging as well. How does this play out into the presidential race? Many people believe that the race is over. At least the mainstream media thinks that it's Hillary Clinton's to win now. Your thoughts on how you see the politics playing out here?
Well, I like everybody else, I'm not everybody, I guess, but most people, and I would further say most certainly Wall Street, hopes that there's not a sweep. It feels a lot like it's a foregone conclusion, but so is Brexit. So I guess we can, but I honestly thought Peggy Noonan nailed it this weekend, like she always does, in imagining what a sane Donald Trump would have done. And it's kind of sad, it really is, because he would have won in a landslide, because this lady is the most unelectable person other than him in history. So if it seems like a very odd time, so let's just hope that the House and the Senate stay Republican, so that they can block anything really stupid that Hillary wants to do.
Right. You take a look though at whether the House and Senate will happen. Apparently now she has coattails, but the idea. Do you believe that the race is over?
Do I believe it's over? Kevin, I guess we can hold out hope that it's not. I'm still hoping for some kind of change agent that actually somebody like Trump would get in there and have a whole bunch of smart people around him. But I have a hard time getting my mind wrapped around a president tweeting at 2 a.m. and calling people names and, if he doesn't like what they say or they disagree with him. I was looking forward to a more serious Trump, the one we saw in the debates. Of 2 and 3, But it seems that he just goes off the rails so easily. And so I think that's very disappointing to see that that still is happening, even though he seems to be a better candidate. He seems to be learning. He seems to be more serious. He doesn't seem to be able to really control it. So that is disturbing. And I think that a lot of people find that disturbing enough that with the ground game that the Democrats have, I do think it's over, Kevin.
Dave Pezzo saying the race is over here at 580KIDO. Now, coming up this week, I believe, your friends at Apple are looking at possibly introducing a new MacBook Pro, MacBook Air. A lot of people are fired up about this. Of course, there have been some inroads. People like the Google Books, the Netbooks, that sort of thing. Has Apple pretty much forgotten its backbone, its bread and butter for the iPad and the iPhone? And, you know, is the Mac relevant these days?
It is. It is because, A, it's profitable. B, it says we are still cutting edge in technology. Nobody can touch us for style, for the look, and as well as, let's face it, every big end user loves Apple and Mac, right? They that's what they want. You know, if you're creating music, you're doing movies and all those things, they really do like it. But I do know that the people that utilize that, they want to do that. So it gives them that cutting edge feel. The best company in the world is Apple. That just adds to that. So it's a branding thing as well as, Kevin, we want to get you in, and we want to keep you in our ecosphere. We talk about this all the time, the recurring earnings that come. For it's a dollar a month for this, and then, you know, I'm going to get my music. Where do you think I'm going to get my music eventually? I'm going to stream it from Apple. I'm not going on to these other ones. I trust them. I like it. It links with all the other devices. That's the way people, you know, you get them in, they're going to stay. And this is becoming a multi-billion-dollar revenue stream. And it's growing very, very rapidly. I believe it was a 20% last quarter growth on recurring revenues. So, again, keeping it there as well as a branding image to have this phenomenal computer.
Hi, to KIDO, our great friend Dave Pezzo with us. Let's go to the phones, and we go to Jim from Star. By the way, Jim from Star, the star of the new Debate Watch video available now exclusively at 580KIDO.com. Features a lot of Jim from Star. Good morning.
Hey, well, good morning, guys. You know, it's so sad. Every time they interview me, they always put the most vanilla piece, if it ever makes it, let me say that. They put
that's on Channel 7. I'm talking about on our website. We actually have a video of you, and you pretty much own the video. In fact, I said to the guy, that's a little bit too much Jim from Star.
It probably is. It's an overdose. Well, before I go and say anything, can I please give a huge thanks and shout out to Pezzo. I mean, what a stud for donating $100,000 to the Boise Rescue Mission. Did I see that right?
You did. You did.
What a guy, man. Dave, that is so cool. In today's day and age, when no one's doing anything for anybody, I commend you, man.
Well, thank you for that. You know, it was a tough decision, actually, to go public with it. I don't know. You know, I'm just telling you personally, it is. It's sometimes it is a big decision. But these guys are amazing, and I really wanted to get the word out about them because everybody I talk to just doesn't realize how many lives they change every year. And I don't mean by just feeding them, and don't get me wrong, you can't change people with an empty stomach. It's critically important, but they've got a pathway for dependencies and to get the kids off to school, get them clothes. I mean, it's amazing, but thank you. Thank you.
No, yeah, we the Treasure Valley is so lucky to have you, and I wouldn't know anything about them if it wasn't for Kevin, because Kevin's the one who brought, you know, Reverend Roscoe into the whole mix and has taught us about what the mission does. And anyways, I was so impressed when I saw that. I was like, you know what, that is just real generosity from the heart, and I think more people need to follow your lead. And Kevin's always been the guy that, you know, gets the community to come out and do good things like that. So very cool, man, very cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I hope it does have that. That's exactly where our thought is. Let's get everybody out there and stepping up for these guys.
Hey, you got an extra 10 grand lying around?
Okay, Jim. What, so, that's 2.5 minutes, so.
Okay, I'll get to the point. So my point is this. I just heard you say the election is over. Are you really serious about that? You think Hillary's got it?
Well, it was, it feels like it to me. I hope I'm wrong, like I said. I hope I'm wrong. I want a change agent in D.C., and I'm willing to take a risk on a guy that tweets at 2 o'clock in the morning. I really am. I'm really willing to take that risk because I also know what the alternative is. But at the same time, I'm not in doubt. Idaho's not in doubt. It's places like Pennsylvania. It's places like North Carolina. And on and on, we all know that really matter, that they're the swing states, and Donald's not doing well. I guess my hope is the same hope as Brexit. When people get in there, they go, I I'm not going to do this in polite company. I'm not going to tell people I support Donald Trump, but here we go.
Wait a minute. You just said you were uncomfortable with the president tweeting at 2 in the morning.
I am. I'm not comfortable with that.
Okay, so,
I said
Jim throws the heat. He said you said it's over. You did say it's over. Now
I said my opinion is it is because of those states are not doing well. But my hope, I do think.
Are
that,
you running for office?
Kevin, that's not fair at all.
This show's never fair.
I'm allowed to have to tell you honestly, intellectually, I think it's over. But I do hope it's not. I hope people are. So, you know, maybe that's it. But, Jim, I don't know.
Okay, well, let's see what Jim has to say.
Absolutely.
To you. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have this funny feeling that, yes, I agree. Petso, I agree with you in so many ways that they're both train wrecks, and Donald does some of the goofiest things that remind me of myself in junior high. But with that being said, I mean, Kevin's last event, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people, and they're so passionate, and I just think that, you know, there's going to be a big surprise. I hope I'm right. Kevin, wouldn't you say that it just seems like that there's this groundswell of people who are not going to take anything but Trump? I mean, I think
there's a decisive effort by the media to play out what they want us all to believe, and you have a lot of people that are believing that. But again, I went down with Romney. I went down with McCain. I did election coverage where I'm going, even as it's very obvious, I go, McCain can still win California. I'm probably not the best person to talk to about this. I think the media has been in the tank, and if you believe the media, then, you know, there you have
it. Well, then how does this work? Because what I've been not arguing with, but debating back and forth with some people is they say since the media's got Hillary so far ahead that it'll discourage Trump voters from even showing up.
That's the idea.
I see it the other way. I see it as, hey, my team's going to win. Why do I need to go out and vote? Am I crazy?
Yes.
I am?
Yes.
Okay.
Dave Petso, your thoughts on Jim from Star here. Is he crazy?
I'm afraid on that last point, yes. I do. I don't. It's disheartening to think that your vote doesn't matter. It does matter here. So what you're seeing is that people here are going to vote and they're going to go and Trump will win Idaho. But again, when we get to places where there's no point in voting for your guy, if he's the only reason you're going to the polls, then you don't show up and vote for the other Republican that's in a tight House race. That's where the problem with the coattails is. It's not because Hillary has some kind of mandate. Her mandate is that she is the most corrupt person in the history to ever run for president. That's her mandate. But people won't show up and vote, at least historically speaking.
Well, if times get really tough, the one thing she's taught me is it's a very profitable thing to start a foundation.
And apparently to be one appointed office. Yeah, and then you can sell access. It's perfect. It's a beautiful thing.
There we go, Millie. That's our plan. You guys take care.
All right, Jim. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Dave Petso, any final thoughts here? What should we be looking out for this week?
Earnings. It's all about earnings, and the market is being driven by that, although the mergers this weekend propel that as well. But we're still seeing a lot of good earnings. Microsoft, everybody says the market's overpriced. Microsoft, after 17 years, hit their all-time high of 1999. 1999 was a long time ago, and companies made a lot less money, a lot less cash flow. Microsoft didn't pay a dividend then. They do now. And when we talk about stocks being overpriced, relative to what? Relative to what? And that's, and I think this is just another lesson. You know, I can't believe it took 17 years for Microsoft, a dominant company, to get back to its all-time highs.
All right, Dave Petzo, Cubs or Indians?
Oh, come on. Really? It's got to be the Cubs.
Who, no, the Tribe. Got to go with the Tribe.
No. Oh. Got to, no.
Be a believer.
Oh. Holy cow. Holy cow is all I can say, Kevin, really.
Dave Petzo gets the last word. Dave, thank you.
Good to see you, Kevin.
Good to see you. You're listening to Kevin Miller on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's Talk Station. Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, good morning, and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I had an amazing week this week. And it's so funny, I was talking last night with a friend, and it was just one of those things where, well, how was your week, you know? And it's like, well, this amazing thing happened, and then on Monday this stunning thing happened. It was one of those weeks. It really was. You know, being with so many clients this week, friends, it was really an incredible week. And so I don't want to distort this discussion today with my own feeling that things are going to be okay because I came off of a good week. I think there's more to what I'm going to talk about here, and that's fear. Than just feeling good someday or feeling bad others or feeling, you know, like this has been such a great week. And so now I'm happy. It's not a question of happenstance when we allow fear or happiness into our life. It's a decision we make. It's a decision of our inputs. It's a decision of how we process the information around us. We make that decision all the time. We decide it. Not the circumstances of our life. Yeah, you have bad days. Yeah, maybe we distort the way we view people, events, because of that. But it's a choice. And when we talk about investing, the vast majority of the time, people are, and all the commentators are talking about whether P.E. ratios are too high or whatever problem there is in the world, how the election's going to affect things. Circle something on the calendar, point to it, and then scare the crap out of people. It's what they do. And it's what we do. We make the choice to let that happen to us all the time. All the time. See, human beings, when we are afraid, and that's most of the time it appears to me, and when we are afraid and we can't control the circumstance, which is pretty much all the time, so when we are afraid and we can't control the circumstance, what do? We seek information. We seek data. So think about that. So I'm scared of the election. Let's just say that. So I want to, and I can't do anything about it. It's just me, one vote. I can send, you know, $20 to my favorite candidate. It's a little too late. It's basically out of my control. So I seek information, you know, because I'm worried about what's going to happen with my portfolio, the overall economy, and everything. So I seek information on the well-rounded, balanced what? News? News isn't, it's all negative all the time, 24/7. Just inject it. Might as well just straight line it right into the base of your skull. All negativity. Let's download it all. It's amazing what we do with the idea that we're doing something smart. I mean, nobody sets out and goes, you know, I think what I want to do is I want to find some really biased, negative stuff to input into my brain so I really think poorly So I can't figure anything out. Even as I seek data, I want to look for really bad data. I want to look for wrong information. Nobody says that. But we naturally walk around going, oh, okay, I better watch some more news. More input, negative. More fear. Cycle completes. And then even better, let's click on the internet, right? Let's get in there. Start digging through some really dark stuff. And we seek more, we get more fearful, then we seek more again. It's an incredibly important. It has nothing to do with P.E. ratios. Nothing to do with the level of interest rates or nominal GDP. Nothing. Nothing. It's whether we can perceive the world as it is. Mostly okay. Problems everywhere that mostly get resolved. And then we roll forward. That's the reality. It isn't perfect at all. And you can't figure it out. You can't. People don't even know what interest rates are going to do, let alone the whole economy, let alone the markets. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. In our effort to predict the future, or predict when I could protect my chunk of money from the inevitable corrections. Inevitable corrections. We act as if corrections in the market are not normal. That we could have done something about it, you know, sidestepped it, traded a little zigging and zagging, and we could have caught both sides of the trade. No, you can't. No, you can't. Nobody's been able to do that. And if you get out and you're right once, when are you going to get back in? You won't. You're trapped out. That's what people don't know. I'm just going to step aside for a while till after the election. Now you're out. What are you doing? Hoping it goes down? What are you doing? When do you come back in? All you have to do is look at history. It's impossible to get back in. Absolutely impossible. Fear. Fear. You know, you think I'm overstating what the news is about? Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Imagine this, the Washington Post, just like 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, the Washington Post comes out and writes a piece that growth actually kills people. Yeah, growth, right. Yeah, an economic growth kills people. And here's what they cited. Pollution and alcohol were the number one and two cause of death. I can't help it. I'm looking at my head. I've just scratched my head and I think, okay, so the poorest countries must be the cleanest. No, they're the dirtiest. The slowest growing ones are the dirtiest. Alcoholism, I think, killed all the men in Russia during their boom period of the 70s and 80s. What foolishness. Remarkable foolishness. Oh, yeah. But see, this is what people want to believe. If you're on the far left, that's what you want to believe. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Pollution's it's devastating. It's the killer of the whole planet. It's it. That's it. We're all going to die because there's growth. Because that person drove a car over there. We're all going to die. We live in fear, whether you're on the far right, the far left, in the middle. Everybody lives in fear. But it's a choice. It's a choice. We don't have to do that. We just don't have to do that at all. Let's grab a quick call here. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is Dave, right?
It is. It is. Fire away.
Well, I've lived a little while. Lord willing, I might be 90 next December.
Well, congratulations. You know how to take care of yourself then.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard you talk about the Old Testament or the New Testament, and I wonder if you include what you know or read in the Bible.
Oh, I think we talk about it a little bit. What are you referring to, Glenn?
Proverbs 3:6.
Okay.
You know that verse?
Not by heart.
Okay, it says simply, this is King James, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And the next part is the Greek part, and he shall direct your paths.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. It sounds pretty simple, but it's very profound because I'm still trying to learn how to do that.
There's a lot in there. I would imagine no matter how long you lived, it would be difficult.
You can start with the truth. You can start with, say, admit the truth to yourself and to your neighbor, your closest friends, especially your spouse. They're business people, and look for the truth in them, and then you can remember, well, Adam and Eve had a problem with deception, and the USA is full of deception. If you don't believe me, watch the Boise Broncos. They're the best deceivers, and that's the way they win.
Mm-hmm.
Hook and ladder in the Fiesta Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so I invite you and your audience and me too. Keep trying to acknowledge him in all your ways. Be kind and polite. And don't forget, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Ah, now I'm going to correct you on that.
Yes, it's true.
Well, okay, let's say that's taken. I'm not going to correct you. I'm going to say the love is the key.
That's what I said, the love of money.
Yeah.
It isn't the money. You got my next sentence.
Okay, all right.
My next sentence is, it's not the money, it's the love of money.
Right.
And when we let it take over our lives, trying to invest and make more money to buy more things, to impress more people that we don't know with things we don't need, there we go.
You got it. Glenn, thank you.
I'm a retired sailor. And it's quite adequate. Thank you. And thank you for taking my call.
You're absolutely. And thank you for your service, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Bye now. And we do have to take a quick break. And when we come back, please do give us a call. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello and welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. 580 KIDO, that's our number. If you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. And let's go to Jim. Jim, how are you today?
Morning, Dave. How's it going with you?
Good, great.
Yeah, I would say that Glenn is right, and you know it's a perfect lead-in to the other part of your equation. You know, the other part of fear is greed, which is love of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I mean that was a good. And the elections, you know, I'm going to try and not watch the elections on election night. And you know, I knew a guy, pretty much like Trump. I mean, not nearly as high up or whatever. You know, years ago. This guy had so much energy, and if he could have only channeled his energy in a positive direction, who knows what he could do, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, it's so sad because, I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, not to Trump, but to my friend Greg, you know?
Yeah. No, I know. There's a people that, ourselves included, there's absolutely no question that no matter what we rise to in life, no matter what we think of ourselves, there's always plenty more that we could have done. There really is. You know, we just can't ever live fully. But some people have so much talent. They're just born with so much. And unfortunately, it doesn't, you know, for whatever reasons in their life, they don't live up to what everybody around them knows is their capabilities.
Yep. And it's just, I don't know. You know, it's interesting when he brought up the deception of the Broncos. And it turned out to be, I guess, a positive thing, but, you know, those guys were deceiving.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's they all are. I mean, that's what a play action is, right? I mean, you're pretending to run the ball when you're not. I mean,
oh, yeah.
All teams deceive.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole idea in winning either a football game or a war. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, we talk about, like, oh, the Broncos have a lot of trick plays. I have no idea what play is not a trick.
But, you know, the thing is, that is what makes football exciting. Now, for instance, Daryl Royal said, you know, when you pass the ball, there are three things that can happen, and two of them are bad. But if you just tramp the ball up the middle or whatever, run a play every time,
mm-hmm.
how boring is that?
Well,
I mean, you've got to have some excitement.
You do. You do. You do. And you're not going to win a football game by doing it that way anyway. But, it's not about excitement. If you could jam the ball right up the middle and get 4 yards every play, that's all the team would do ever.
Well, see, that's the thing. You know, they want to win, but, and a fan of a particular team says this is great, but it's still boring.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I know. I hear you.
We're all
tricky. It's all what happens in sports.
So what do you think of the first Cubs game in the in Chicago since 1945?
I know. Is that crazy? It's unbelievable.
It's rather sad.
Yeah.
But I am for the Indians because everybody else is for the Cubs.
Well, you and Kevin Miller are just sick and wrong. And with that, I'm just going to have to say goodbye. I mean,
well, take care.
Okay.
Have a nice week, and may the stock market hang in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Should be interesting news this weekend. We'll see what happens. All right.
Yeah, the latest thing on Hillary. You never know.
I know. Things could be changing rapidly. Have a good day, Jim.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. A couple minutes left in this hour. You know, it's amazing, again, part of the news in this past week that has been really big, actually nationally, is the, if you will, the implosion of Obamacare. Or is it the explosion of the real costs of Obamacare, which are no longer hidden and in full view, and we're seeing literally the premiums explode. And not just here. In fact, Idaho, I think we got away with, you know, only 20% increases. Some states were just below 100% increases, many, many of them in the 40 and 50% range. It's unbelievable. Plus higher and higher and higher deductibles. A big, not just an election campaign, this is an enormous economic problem. Absolutely enormous. And we've got to be aware, or if you will, keep our eyes on this as far as a detriment, assuming Hillary gets elected. She may not be. Obviously, there's some big breaking news coming out right now. But at the same time, if so, what are we going to do about this? This is a huge headwind. It's not to be taken lightly. Average families paying $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 more per year in premiums is not an affordable thing for many families. That money out of the economy is a big deal, times millions of households. It really is. So it is going to be something. This is really very, very interesting. We had GDP numbers that were better than expected, slightly. I don't know what they're going to be revised to. This is the first look, but is the economy improving? Anyway. Lots to talk about in the next hour. I do hope you'll stick around with us, and we'll talk some more. And Apple knocking the cover off the ball.
When I listen to Audible, I'm not drinking box wine on the couch with my schnoodle. I'm undercover at a Parisian gala, hot on the trail of Europe's most infamous jewel thief. There, in the corner, the man with the mustache has red clay on his shoes. The exact same clay from the tennis court where the Sultan's jewels went missing. I break into a sprint and tackle him to the ground. Where are the jewels, you fiend? No, not you, Pepper. You're a good boy.
Go to audible.com/act now, and your first download is free. Audible. Stories that surround you.
Imagine giving your home the warmth and beauty of traditional wood without the many hassles. LP Smart Side Trim and Siding products are engineered using advanced siding technology that includes the proprietary Smart Guard process. Each manufacturing step is designed to create durable siding that will perform beautifully for decades and is backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Smart homeowners know LP Smart Side products are the right choice for lasting beauty and curb appeal. Learn more about the next generation of siding at lpsmartside.com. That's lpsmartside.com.
Hello and welcome to hour number two of Money Matters. And of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not this station. They're not my broker dealer. They're just opinions. And we're certainly not here to tell you what to buy, 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 or sell, sell, sell. And if we mention a stock, it's accidental. It's not accidental. It's used as an example. It's not, oh, you know, Apple has $250 billion in cash. Well, they do. It's a fact. It's an example of an extraordinary company. Doesn't mean you ought to go own it. Doesn't mean it's appropriate to your portfolio. And to think you would buy or sell something off of a madman on TV pushing noisy buttons is insane. Or anybody on the radio pushing fear. Crazy. Hey, Richard, can I have you hang on for 1 second here? I want to finish some thoughts here on fear. You know, oftentimes this is our education segment, and I can't think of anything that's more important to understand, honestly. There really isn't. I mean, we do, of course, want to teach about P.E. ratios. What does that mean? What's the difference between an equity and a bond? You know, it's the basics. And I want your input as to what you want to learn about. I mean, just shoot us an email. It's easy. dave@petsofinancial.net. If you want to, if we have time, we'll answer them during the show. And we almost always have time. But if it's a bigger question, then I take those and I want to talk to you about those and educate. But sometimes we get caught in these little things that are, and they are little. It's good to understand. It's good to know the little stuff. But if we're not careful, we can miss the big, important things. How we feel is how we react. I know, guys, I'm going to talk to you, man, because women are smarter than this. They already know they're emotional. Us guys, we think we're not. Yeah, I know as we get older, I know certainly for me and all my buddies, right? You know, we're turning into girls anyway, the older you get. But the reality is we think that we deal with things in a non-emotional way. And it's not true. So, I don't live in fear about my investments, you know. You know, I'm John Wayne. Yeah, you do. I don't know nuttier investors than guys. Really. I mean, these are the same people that will just, year after year after year, just dredge up any problem in the world. Put it under a microscope. Magnify it. Study it. Go deeper into the internet about why the world is ending. Women don't do that. Guys do. Women know they're afraid. They embrace it. Boom. Life is fearful at times. It's crappy. Let's go have a good cry. And then they deal with life better. Fear is huge. It's the most important thing when we're trying to get things right. Do we buy and sell things because of fear and greed? Yes, we do. Sooner you get over the fact that, oh, not me, the better you're going to do. We do. We take risks sometimes in individual stocks, dinky stocks, penny stocks, that are absurd. Because we think it's going to be a, you know, 10, 20, 100 to 1 shot. Not for you, pal, it won't be. But fear is the big one. We're going to get out of the market right now. Why? But I don't know, the election. That's the one, right? It's the one you hear about every day. After the market after the election, the market's going to crash. Why? Well, I don't know, you know, because why? There's no answer. It just is. We make stuff up. And if we can't get this right, we can't invest. I mean, when you think about this, is whether, like if you're milking cows, right, and you're selling the milk, you don't rush in every day and check the prices of the cows. But if you're milking dividends from the great corporations of the world, we rush in to check the prices of our stocks. Is that helpful? Does that help the fear factor? It's stupid. It gives us the wrong perception. If you own a building, do you fuss and fume about what the price of the building is every day, or do you just enjoy an ever-increasing stream of income from the rents? Yeah, I don't have it appraised 12 times a day. I don't even do it every day, or week, or month, or year. Who would waste the money? I think I'm going to sell my building and step aside until the elections are done. Really? Why? Well, you know, in case it tanks after the election. What if it doesn't? Well, it will. Okay, yeah, it's going to. Only with stocks do we inject this level of fear about price instead of value. Nothing else we do that with. Nothing. We have no perception of what the price is when we own a business. It's all about the income. And when we don't think we have fear, or that we invest with emotions, or most things like, you know, I really want that new car, that's an emotional reaction. You don't need a new car. The transportation you have is fine. Now let's go ahead and justify the 10 reasons why you'll spend so much less on the brand new car than the other one because, you know, it's going to need new tires. We know that's all BS. We bought the car because we want the car. We buy stocks because we want to make a lot of money. But then when we get scared of the wrong things, we can lose our mind and we can throw away our long-term security for short-term stability. When we perceive fear, we don't sit out and go, I'm going to find all the really scary stuff and immerse myself in it. Like a virtual reality experience. Let me find it. And then have it 360 degrees around me. Fear. Nobody says that. But it's what news is. It's what the news flow is. It's all bad all the time. And guys, you think you're above that. That you don't react to all that. But we do. It's just huge. We can talk all day long about all the little small stuff. But it's our behavior that dictates our success. There's only two things you have to do. Two. You got to start investing. Adamantly, early, often, go. You have to start. What do you think the second one is? You have to finish. You can't bail. Nobody sets out on a plan, right, and says, you know, I think I'm going to start and we do this really good, and then when the market goes down, I'm going to sell low. That's emotion. No intelligent amoeba would say, I want to do that. It's emotion. It's emotion. Fear's big. Big driver. Big driver. It's why people buy all these silly products, right? They just want the guarantee. That's it. They don't want the Wall Street casino, whatever pitch. But that's all it is. It's a giant pitch. It's a lie. The deception. Based on what? good information, a lot of good smart data. No. Fear. 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 Fear sells. Fear motivates. It's really dangerous. Think about it. Play with it. Own it. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Richard, thank you so much for holding. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dave, I have a question about the merger with TD Ameritrade and Scottrade.
Yes,
How
yes.
How is that going to affect the accounts in either?
Absolutely won't, but it's a great question. And since we clear through TD, they're sending us letters and stuff to email out to people, and they'll be sending stuff out, I'm sure, too. But it doesn't change anything. The platform is going to be the same. Costs are identical to what they were before, both on the retail as well as the institutional side. Institutional meaning you're working with an advisor. That's the big word for you have an advisor. But neither side is going to change at all. They're just merging together. And right now, until they can elegantly get them pulled together, they're not even mixing up their accounts. They'll be on separate platforms for a while. Meaning if you're at Scottrade, you're still going to be there, even though TD Ameritrade will own them.
If you have accounts in each, then they won't necessarily merge, or at least not right away.
That's correct. I think you'll probably end up making a choice fairly soon, unless there's a reason that they're separate, right? You can have two accounts with multiple firms, but I don't think you're going to see that they suddenly go, we're going to shut down this Scottrade account because it's, they have a good website, and I'm sure they do some things better than TD Ameritrade does. So they'll try to grab a little bit of both, but you don't immediately integrate both platforms together, or you can watch your system go up in smoke, right? They are both closed systems, so they're not going to integrate easily. They're going to migrate them across, I think, to one platform or another very slowly.
Okay. Thank you.
But you're welcome. You're very welcome. Thanks for the call. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I get it. There's so much stuff to be worried about, because we're all aware of all of the problems. But I want you to just think, and kind of use this exercise if you would, just for a moment. Maybe during this commercial break you think about it. It's actually, I recommend it for how you start every day. But let's just try it right now. Just for a moment. Think about the 2, 3, and if you get really good at this, 5 or 10, things in your life that are amazing, great, that you're grateful for. It changes the dynamic of anger so much. And it's not because you don't have to worry about the rest. It's not like, I'm going to live in this little stupid fairy tale thing. No, you won't, because it'll be like 3 seconds later, the world will hit you like a freight train. Obamacare premiums escalate. GDP not growing fast enough. The only reason that European banks are alive today is because of the ECB doing blah, blah, blah. ISIS just destroyed another family. They just decided to behead 16 women over here. Yeah, the nut jobs are free in the world. It doesn't take any time before we have all of the bad information. What we have to try to do, just a little bit of, is offset that. That's not being Pollyannish. That's not being, it's not. It's trying to offset all negative all the time and not governing our investments by fear. We need to take a quick break, and I do hope you'll give us a call or shoot us an email. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number, 580-KITO. You know, it's interesting how we can take an earnings number, or earnings report. To me, it's fascinating, frankly. And Apple this week just didn't live up to expectations. Although it was better than expected on the earnings, on the revenue, and they gave good forward guidance. Okay. I'm confused, too, and I am. But anything Apple confuses me, frankly. I have no idea why people don't like the stock. You know, pays a dividend, lots of cash, so on and so forth. But they don't sometimes, and obviously that has been to the detriment of those that don't like it. The stock has done well. It has in the last year, big deal. Lots of companies didn't have a good year. But I think Google sat there for about 3 years. Most people don't talk about Google being a bad stock. But we do wind up in a circumstance like this. And again, this is what I'm talking about for the example of, I'm talking about Apple. I'm going to talk positive about it. That doesn't mean you should own it, okay? Seriously, that's absurd. They have $250 billion in cash. In this crummy quarter, remember, you go, yeah, they're really down. It's a crummy quarter. They are the most profitable corporation in the world. Let me repeat that. This was a crummy quarter, according to the press and some of the analysts. And they are the most profitable company in the world. They have $250 billion in cash. Yeah, abstract failures, right? Isn't that crazy? Absolutely crazy. But the reason I mention it is this. We hear this news flow and never really stop to analyze what they're saying. Because here's what they're actually saying. Apple had a crappy quarter, and we're going to sell off the stock, and I'm recommending a sell because they're the most profitable company in the world, and they only have $250 billion in cash. And they exceeded our expectations. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. But they do. And it makes news. And that's why we have to learn from these things of what we're hearing. Is that really news? Is that information? Or is it just noise? Just more noise. That confuses our thought process. You see, if you owned Apple as an entire enterprise, this is the business you owned, I think you'd be pretty happy. Don't you? You'd be happy with how things were going. Oh, okay. So, yeah, okay. So sales are down and we're the most profitable company in the world. Oh, okay. Things didn't go quite as well as we hoped. I mean, I guess they were better than expected. But, you know, we could do better. We'll do better. And we have $250 billion in cash to make that happen. It's incredible the position they're in. But you see, that kind of dialogue and back and forth nonsense is nothing more than a lot of noise. Because if you had a business like that, you would no more care what Wall Street thought the price should be. You'd just cash your checks. Nobody'd care. Not until the day you were going to sell. And that's the weirdness, the disconnect when we talk about stocks and we talk about anything else. No, nobody prices their business. Nobody prices their apartment building. Nobody prices their cows. Nobody. But so many people literally push the button every day to see what their net worth is, as if they were going to sell. Rather than especially if you're living on income or nearing when you're going to live on income. How am I doing with income generation? How's my milk going? Not what's the price of my cow. How's the cash flow from my building? Not the price of the building. We think so much differently. And partly that is because of all the fear mongers, the people that want to pimp an annuity to you. Because you can't pimp annuities. They're high cost. They don't work. The guarantee is true. You won't lose your money, but you won't win. And that is just not going to sell if people had this perception that, you know, I think no matter what the price of, say, my Procter & Gamble is, I think I'm going to get my dividend. And maybe they're going to raise it the 60th year in a row. Now, when you stop and you think about 60 years in a row, it's a remarkable thing. Or Johnson & Johnson is 45 years in a row. That means they raised their dividend in 08 and 09. And in spite of, you know, the Greek end of world and then the European end of world and then the whatever end of world, they raised it again. Every one of those years, even as the price disintegrated, my cash flow increased. I mean, if you're milking cows and they tell you, man, you're just making so much money on milk, why would you care what the price of the cow is? Well, nobody would. But all we do is fixate with radiation-like eyeballs on the price of stocks. So it can manipulate our thinking into saying, I've got to go find a guarantee somewhere. I know they're lying to me, but I need guarantees. I know, but I'm living in fear, and so therefore I need to have guarantees. I know this isn't true, but I want it so bad. And that's what we do. We really do. I'm not making fun, unless you think I'm making fun of all human beings. But here's the beautiful thing. You don't have to live like that. You can watch the market go down. You can turn the blogging off. You can stop it. You want something really funny? I'm serious. I'm absolutely serious about this. It's funny, it's pointed, and it's so true. Now, I know a lot of you love Bob Newhart like I do. He's an amazingly funny guy. Still alive, by the way. Bob Newhart, all you have to do is type it in, go to YouTube, just type in on your Google line, but, you know, Newhart, stop it. Newhart, stop it. I'm just telling you. For us, at our office, and with some of our clients, we point them to this, we go, hey, so what do I do? What do I do about this? Stop it. You'll love it. YouTube it. Anyway, that's sometimes we can change our behavior. We don't have to do this. We're not amoebas. We can change our behavior. We really can. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's why that's a constant reminder. That's why for 30 years now, I've been talking about things like fear. And not just talk about, you know, well, the P.E. ratios are a little bit low relative to where interest rates are right now. I think we could really go to, you know, 793 on the S&P 500. Huh? What did we learn about that? Nothing. How are we going to govern our investments? We're not. There's nothing. We need to think about these things and constantly remind ourselves because we are human. All right, real quick before we run here to Fox News. All right, got an email. Mike, thank you. Good morning, Dave. I would like to know about using the 0% tax on long-term capital gains in the 15% tax bracket to reset the cost basis of shares held in a taxable account. Great idea. You have to use it. Use it or lose it, right? What income is included in the taxable income to stay within the 15% bracket? Mike, it is all income. That's the tricky part. So your capital gains are going to add to that. So you can't just say, well, I've got endless amounts, you know, $250,000 of capital gains are going to be washed out with no tax. That's going to be counted, and it will not, and then, of course, it'll push you up above the 10, and I believe it's a 10% bracket, actually, frankly. It's not the 15. think it's a 10% bracket is where you get zero on capital gains. At the 15, you get 10% capital gains treatment. Okay? How do state taxes figure into taxes due on gains? You still pay the state taxes, okay? And what am I missing? Yes, you're not missing a thing. If you on a little bit, you just can't do a lot because that, the actual capital gains themselves will push you up over, I believe it's around the $50,000 level that pushes you above that, that you will start paying capital gains taxes. Play with the numbers on any tax software, and you don't need anything advanced on the tax software. I'm sure you can just find anything free out there and put a few numbers, and you can play around with it, Mike. Great question. Great catch on the tax code. That's very few people actually know that. Well done. Thank you again for the email, and our email address is dave@petsofinancial.net. It's 580-KIDO. I do fully expect to have a few people on the board when we come back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. I just really get overwhelmed thinking about the fact that, I mean, none of us likes to get old, right? But, man, to be able to do this for 30 years with you all, whew, wow. 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 It's really something. It really is. I sure appreciate it. And all the, you know, we had a bit of an event this week, and it's always such a warm feeling we have from our clients. And it's just one of those things because you develop, when you're around for a while, you develop 20 and 30 year relationships. And sometimes you just stop and, wow, it's really something. So thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to do that and do this and to be part of this incredible. This is just incredible. I mean, do you realize how fortunate we are to actually, like, be in Boise, be in America? You know, people tease me because I've always talked about winning the lottery just by being born in America. It's true. It's true. As much angst and fear as there is out there, we got it the best that there is. We do. It can be better, and we need to fight that good fight. I get that, totally. But we won the lottery, man, being born in America. And most of us were born to great families that loved us. And we are even in Boise. We don't have to push and prod and poke people on the subway in Jersey. Whew. Wow. Wow. But my life is really falling apart. I know. Sometimes it just feels that way. I know. But it's just an amazing thing. We really are so, so incredibly blessed. But what a community we have here. All right. So that's enough of that nonsense. 580-5436, 580-KIDO is our phone number. Please do ring us up. Come on. I don't have anybody on the board. Let's get ringing it up here. I do have a very beautiful email here that just came in. Francis, thank you. Dave, thank you for your program and your generosity. May God bless you. I'm getting ready to retire and have a sizable amount of money in TSP pre-tax, and I'm debating what to do with it to get a monthly draw and not be too risky. Do you guys have a program for a TSP transition? Thanks, Frank. We do, Frank, and don't let me off the hook. I want to talk a little bit about the rescue mission, too. If I forget, I forget, but we'll get around to it sometime. But and so thank you for that, Frank. But it's let's talk about this. Everybody has a program for that. It's called an IRA rollover. And you're absolutely free to do that. And when you turn it into income, it is incredibly important. I can't really dive into that piece of it because it takes too long. Okay, that we've talked about in education segments many times. I've taken entire programs to talk about how you manage for income and how tricky it is and what you have to do. It's not a program you can just put in an S&P 500 and say that I'm going to take 4% a year, and that's all going to work out. It might, but actually, there's a really high probability it won't. And I don't know, most people would be like, okay, I'm about to get on this airplane, and you know, there's about a 60% chance it'll arrive safely. How many are getting on the plane? I'm not either, right? Nobody's getting on. It's like, right, really 40% is going down? Yeah. You can't just do that. You have to have income-generating things. It's very tricky, and we will continue to talk about it. But I do want to talk about the question or the comment you made in here, and not be too risky. It's interesting because we have to define this as how are we going to define it? So we've been talking about fear today. Are we going to define this as price movement? Not going to zero, price movement. Or do we define risk as I'm going to run out of money before I run out of life? You see, you can't have it all. And so when we define risk, we have to really be super careful. Because especially today in a zero interest rate world, how much can I put into a bond portfolio and have it, and then still draw 4 or 5% income? In my mind, the answer is really close to zero. Because I can't go in and say, well, I'm really happy getting 1.8% on a 10-year treasury, even though I'm pulling out 4 with a 3% cost of living, and I want to put 40% of my portfolio there. I'm not a math genius, really, but I don't think it takes one to go, yeah, gosh, that isn't going to work. It won't. It can't. So we have to think different, and we do have to take price risk to defeat inflation. In a world where joint life expectancies are 30 and 40 years into retirement, you don't think it's going to cost more to live in 20 or 30 years than today, even in our really low inflation world? You're going to run out of lifestyle, maybe not actual cash. But you can't have all fixed. So when we're talking about this being too risky, we have to be careful with that. Defining it as price risk or risk of running out of money, very important discussion and understanding, not just like, okay, I got it. Yep, no problem. You'll get me out of the market right before it dives, and then we won't have any problems, right? You got that? No, that's not what I'm saying. No, no, no. And nobody can do that. Oh, well, then and we should do one of those things where, you know, you get the stock market gain, and then when the market goes down, I don't get any of that. No, because you don't get all the gain, and you have to have all the gain for it to work. There isn't anything, except you have to ride it out, and you focus on income, and you change the dynamic in your head about what risk is. It's a process. This doesn't happen overnight. Again, women understand this. It's an emotional process. It's an emotional process. I don't understand women. Don't get me wrong. I just think there's a lot of things in this that women get, that they're emotional, and men don't. I know, because guess what? I'm a guy. I'm a caveman. It's pretty basic for me. Feed me and other things, you know the rest, right? Okay, and I'm a pretty happy guy. But we don't get that we live our life in this emotional turmoil. Of am I accepted? Am I loved? Do I have a big enough stack that chicks dig me? All these things, that money is power and all these things factor into how all of us think about it. For women, it's security. But at least they process things. Guys often will come in and we'll be talking about this like, okay, so is my stack big enough now to retire? Yeah, we got it. You got it. You did. Built it up. It should work fine. And we never deal with the fact that, okay, so like you were running a crew, you had your own business, whatever it is, you were captain of something. Now you're nobody. You're just hanging out. You play golf? Is that your work time now? 8-10 hours of golf a day? No social network? You see, we don't deal. Women all the way through get this. Totally. I need to have my social circle. I've got to have this nailed down. I'm not about my work. That's not how I identify myself. Guys do. And we identify ourselves often as non-emotional, and we are. And we get to this point, we start drawing income, and we worry about things like price, and then what do? We sell. We sell out at the beginning of 2009, the end of 2008. We sit on the sidelines. And then when we're that wrong, We go in and we dig deeper for the facts. We got the facts of life, the facts, only the facts. And we dig. And we dig and we dig and we dig and we dig. And we dig in. And so we go into all these blogs. With, you know, oh, the former budget director says we're all going to die. And then this is going to happen when the Fed raises rates. And when QE ends and when this happens, it's all over. We prove to ourselves how smart we are for selling out at the bottom and not getting back in. That's what we're really good at. Proving the point of why we're wrong. Justifying it. Instead of just saying, man, did I screw up? I'm going to learn from that and move on. All right, that's a big discussion. I know, Francis, you're going, wow, whew, this is all I want to know is about an IRA rollover. And he's picking out this risk question. Yeah, I am. Everybody's got a rollover. Anybody can pull income. Can you do it right? Do you do it right? And do you set it up? Or do we bail into one of these products that promises something that it'll never deliver? All right, we got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-KIDO. Final break upcoming. Nice segment upcoming. So, Craig, you hang on. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Let's go right straight to the phones. Craig, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Certainly, Dave. I think you bring up a good point about when you did the extended discussion about the gentleman who was talking about risk and investment rollover.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us, I know when I come in and talk to you, and obviously full disclosure, I'm one of your clients. When I come in and talk to you, such as last week, and I appreciated your counsel. And I'm taking steps towards modifying things in my life. But I think investing is, and I know you've been saying this for years, but it doesn't get stated sometimes as directly as it need to be. It's not just numbers and money. It's how one wants to choose to live their life. Can they attain their goals? Can they sustain their goals? Like you're saying, the guy who used to run something and now he's nothing. Well, I'm one of those guys. I used to run a worldwide reporting system, or at least co-run it with a management team across, you know, three continents.
Right.
And now what do? I sit around and read music and drink coffee, you know, and watch Netflix. So, I mean, it's I think one has to take one's life into consideration as well, not just am I going to have money, because after a while, even if you have the money and it's coming in and things, you know, are pretty good, there's still that hole in your life, and all the investment criteria and all the investment discussions and meetings and all that will not fulfill you.
That's right. Yep, all the money won't. It's about figuring out who you are and living life, Craig, and that's exactly right. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you.
Well, thanks. And I really do believe that we did hit the lottery living in America. I mean, imagine if we were Ethiopian.
Yeah.
And you and I were just two regular Ethiopian guys.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be sitting around, you know, scrounging for the next meal.
Yeah.
Or, you know, selling a bunch of arms to a bunch of pirates to go, you know, kill a bunch of people or something. I mean, it's not everybody's that way, but I mean, that's what we see is, as far as the, you know, the bad images in the media. And who knows if we hadn't turned out that way, if there weren't the economic and social opportunities that we have in this country.
Exactly. No doubt. That's the way to think about it, man. That's what I'm saying, right? Right there. Well said. Amen, brother.
I'm on the beam. So anyway,
Take
care and have a great weekend. Yeah. Hope it's dry enough to have some golf today.
I am. It's going to be a nice day. Enjoy yourself. Have a great day,
Greg.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye now. And let's go ahead and pop on over to Craig. Craig, thank you very much for calling and waiting. Go ahead, please. Frank?
Oh, sorry about that.
Sorry, my fault. I probably said Craig, didn't I?
No, it's okay. My phone must cut out.
Oh, I got you.
So I had a question for you. Since you were talking about capital gains here just a little bit ago, my wife and I unintentionally flipped a house. We had it for a year and a half. We made $30,000 on it.
Okay.
And but I don't know. My question to you is, are we going to get capital gains for that since we only sold it for $168,000 and we had it for a year and a half? So I don't understand that part. And then I wondered if maybe you could explain to me how people make money flipping houses with capital gains.
Well, it's a good question. Any investment, you have to consider the after-tax ramifications. So, and as far as flipping, same issue. And also, you have the same issue of it's more complex than this. But any business that has issues of whether you end up with scrap or you have to redo a job, you know, anything like that, when you're doing that in a house and things don't work out, you have to have it done again. And those kind of costs, whether you did one house perfect or they're not expected, you have to expect them. They will happen. But the capital gains are just like any other business. It's no different. You're going to have to pay it on any earnings. Now, real quickly, I'm going to kind of run out of time, and I'm not a tax expert. But, Frank, I think on this, was this your home, you're saying? You inadvertently flipped it?
Yeah, we ended up finding a house with some acreage farther out there.
No, that's okay. It's your home. This is your primary residence, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't flip it for profit. That's your primary. You're okay. I think you're okay. Again, you have to check with your tax consultant, but I don't think you have any problem on your primary residence with capital gains, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You got it, man. Take care. Bye-bye. And you know what? We are just about out of here. I got to tell you, I really enjoyed today. Thank you so much to the phone callers. I really appreciate it. And those of you who sent emails as well, I really appreciate both of those. It was a great fun today. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you next week.